Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Naked Departure Talk Show. This show is live and interactive, and we invite the audience to join the discussion. You can call into the studio by clicking on the Skype button which appears on the show page, or by calling us on 1-914-205-5805. Alternatively, you can post your questions or comments in the chat room which also appears on the show page. Thank you for tuning in. The management of Naked Departure Talk Show does not represent, endorse, or validate any views, opinions, products, or services promoted on this show.
Good morning. This is Sherry Veronica. Today is Friday, September 16, 2016. I want to welcome Victor into the studio.
Hey, Sherry. Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Today we want to talk about lost youth in Barbados. We got in a blog yesterday where a young person was saying that they live in St. Lucie, Barbados, and a lot of young people from the Pie Corner and different areas in St. Lucie are turning to drugs and guns and criminality because there's nothing, there are no jobs after you leave school, there are no incentive programs, there are no pastors that are dedicated for them to play ball and to blow off some steam, and to sit around, to think of young people who may otherwise be pretty talented just sitting around having no hope for the future. It's mind-blowing. It's a wasted mind. And, yes, you see where these young people will get into trouble, turn to mischief. And another thing is that when we had heard earlier in the month about some young people who were arrested for the murder of a drug dealer, a suspected drug dealer in Barbados, we thought about it, and we said he was in jail even before he got to Dodds. I mean, if you are growing up poor, you're poor, you are hungry, you have no representation, you have no one there, no role models, you're being sexualized early, you are already in jail. It's just a matter of going into a smaller jail, which is Dodds, the Queen's jail, which is run at her pleasure. So when we hear these things, we almost expect them to happen, because if you are in a situation like what we're hearing and what is coming in to the Naked Departure blog on nakeddeparture.com, you would imagine that it is a form of slavery, the fact that you actually live in Barbados in the first place. And I have experienced that firsthand, because as a adult, a grown woman, I moved back to Barbados, and I was always afraid. When I was a child living in Barbados, I was afraid. When I went back as a woman, I was afraid. There's something about that island that just frightens me. And to think of being in jail when you're supposed to be free to move back and forth, it's the craziest thing. I'm going to let you speak. Victor?
Yeah, Sherry, I'm hearing everything that you're saying. And again, it goes back to communal ties, classroom ties, school ties.
Okay, I'm not hearing you well.
I'm saying, are you hearing me now better?
Yes, I can hear you better now.
Yes, I'm saying that it goes deeper than just one layer. It goes to familial, societal, the clergy, school, the entire village that it would take to raise a child. Barbados needs to have a village raise a child, period. Especially disadvantaged youth. who are at risk to criminally offend. Those at-risk children need specific help, psychological help, certain psychological containments in order for them to be able to move beyond the critical years of youth into manhood. But beyond that, let's look at it from a governmental standpoint. Dennis Kelman has been the elected official representative, parliamentarian for St. Lucie for a considerable period of time. In fact, he is the longest serving member of parliament in the Democratic Labour Party and may be only second to ONS Arthur as a tenured parliamentarian. So I'm hearing this information and reading it that the youth, the young men in St. Lucie, in his constituency, have been complaining about not having available facilities to exercise, to run off their steam, and because of this, these lack of amenities, facilities, it has led to criminal enterprise creeping into the parish of St. Lucie, into Mr. Kelman's constituency. And I asked the people there who, for more than 20-something odd years, more than two decades now, have voted for Dennis Kelman. They have elected this man to be their parliamentary representative. And I do not live in St. Lucie, so I'm asking a question. I am not accusing anyone of anything. I'm just asking. This is a hypothetical. If he is not providing the parliamentary representation that is needed for St. Lucie, why has he been elected over four different periods of time? He's been elected in four different elections plus to be your parliamentary representative. And the youth are complaining that they do not have the amenities necessary, the exercise, the facilities. None of these things are in existence in St. Lucie. My question would be, maybe the first two elections, but then two other times after that, and he still has failed to make the parish look like it's represented by somebody in parliament. Why do we have these issues now? Weren't these issues there 10 years ago, 15 years ago? And if they were, what type of mandates as constituents did you give to Mr. Kelman relative to bettering parliamentary representation in the parish of St. Lucie? I mean, that seat is probably one of the strongest seats. You could pretty much say Kelman's, Arthur's in St. Peter, George Payne in St. Andrew, Mia Motley, and Mara Thompson are probably shoe-in constituencies. You can close your eyes and know that those people will be returned virtually unopposed to being parliamentary representatives. Yet, the St. Lucie is one of the bigger parishes geographically. I don't know what the population density is there. I haven't done the research, so I'm just going from memory. Why is it not given the kind of attention that it needs? It's almost northernmost parish. It's from a plantation historical standpoint. It was a plantation, a parish. It provided wealth for Barbados over the decades. why is Mr. Kelman not being held accountable for providing for his constituents? We have a problem with parliamentary representatives not doing what they were elected to do. So I ask, why is it then that the people in St. Lucie keep electing somebody who does nothing for his constituents? And I think that that's a fair question to ask, and I think it would be a better question for Mr. Kelman to address to his constituents in St. Lucie. But the issue of crime in St. Lucie among the young men in St. Lucie, the killings of young men that abide in St. Lucie is really near a very high pandemic level, and something should be done to address that level of loss of life and criminal enterprise in the parish of St. Lucie. And again, it goes back to those who are apprised of governmental statistics to look at what's going on there that is driving young men to criminal enterprise. Is it the fact that they lack sports facilities? Is it parental? Is it nurture rather than nature? What are those issues that would lead the young men in St. Lucie, because St. Lucie is the parish where the young men complained about not having the amenities to keep themselves away from committing acts that are criminal in nature. So those questions I would ask any listener, anyone that's listening into this show today, to write into the Naked Departure blog, or if they want to come on here now and talk about it, to feel free to do that, to open up some ideas as to why we're having these problems in the parish of St. Lucie with the young men, Sherry.
Yeah.
I'll toss this back to you.
As you know, Dennis Kelman has a shop in St. Lucie, and they say that he sells by the pound. He weighs everything. He cooks hot food, and he sells it by the pound, and they're saying that that's all he's interested in, is selling his food by the pound. And you know that a pound of food, it weighs a pound pretty quickly, and there's hardly anything on the plate. And also, he has a salary coming from Parliament, and heaven knows what else he does. But we do know that he's making money. He's a businessman, you know, so we do know that about him. We've heard that he has talked about having an airport on the northern part of the country. And we've also heard talk of him talking about seceding, having St. Lucie a government on its own. There's a lot of talk, but no action. That's what you're seeing in the comments. There's a lot of talk and no action. How can you talk about building an airport in St. Lucie and you do not even have money to build a football, to just dedicate an area where people can play cricket, or where people can shoot some hoops, or a center, anything that can accommodate young people so that they can have a place to go and spend hours in the day and have things available like balls and bats and nets, stuff like that. Staff, maybe volunteer staff can be there to assist in making sure that everything is on the up and up. That's what fathers are for. That's what role models are for. And like we have talked about, Victor, the lack of role models, the lack of family structure, the lack of fathers in the home is non-existent. I mean, you don't have those things. When I say the lack, I know lack and non-existent could be a double negative, but there's no such thing like that in Barbados on the whole, on the medium, it's very, very rare you'll find a man in the home and who is going to be part of the team and making sure that other children get home safely and to make sure that things are done well at the center, wherever it's dedicated for these young men to be. It's not going to happen. All that happens in Barbados is a man looking to molest a young child. That's about it. If they're a game, if they're hanging around, you have to watch your ass. You have to watch your children because they're hanging around for deviant purposes. It's not going to be good. So, like you said, it's something that an onion that needs to be peeled and peeled and peeled, because the more you peel, there's more stuff to be done. It's almost as though you have to start from fresh when we talk about Barbados. You have to start from ground zero when you talk about Barbados and start. It's almost as though there's a war. It's silent. You probably don't see it. You probably don't smell it. But there's a war, and you need to start at ground zero to rebuild. And without that mentality, I don't see it going anywhere. Victor?
It is said that in a war, the first casualty of a war is truth. So we have to be able to speak truth in our deepest sincerity to address issues. I feel, for me, speaking for myself, that if I'm dealing with the totality of an issue and my intentions are to help people, that it takes truth on my part and it takes truth and listening. We all have to listen to each other. If we're shouting at each other, then obviously nobody is listening. So at the end of the day, there's a problem. I don't know statistically, empirically, how many men are absent from homes in Barbados relative to other Caribbean territories, other Caribbean countries with a similar geographic size. I don't know, so I can't speak intelligently to that, but what I do know is that at the end of the day, we have a problem with youth, both male and female young people, not being able to garner the communal support that they need post-secondary schools. And if you have almost 30% or higher unemployment rate for young people, and they are dislocated and forced to be on the streets of any community in Barbados, then that's an accident waiting to happen for those young people. So we know that not everybody can be a lawyer, doctor, Indian chief. So Barbados, when I was going to school in the 70s, incentivized young people that were not geared towards academic learning to learn some kind of a trade, to pick up some kind of a skill, something that permitted them to apprentice with somebody somewhere. Today, young men and young women, their apprenticeship program seems to be criminal enterprise. So every adult in Barbados, whether that person happens to be a parent or not, every adult expatriate like myself and you living abroad, we have a moral responsibility to speak truth to power. Not speak truth to power in a glaring, insulting, insular way, but to speak truth to power with the hope of soliciting help for those that are most needy. This is not about me. The problem is not about you, Sherry. It's bigger than us. It's a problem that's centered around the youth of Barbados. It hurts my heart badly to see a young man gunned down anywhere or a young woman in Barbados. It does. So those people who are in positions of power in the church, in the education system, in the homes, the parents, in government, in the business sector in Barbados. Those people can help too. You know, we need to have a call to action to solve the problems that plague young people across the island of Barbados. We need to have a call to action. And what's happening is everybody's talking at the situation, and they can talk about it every time a youth is shot and killed in Barbados. But what about the next youth that's on the horizon to be killed? What about that person? What's being done to ensure that the next youth out there that has to cross hairs on his or her back, that we remove those cross hairs, that we provide a safe haven for that youth to be able to have a long life. What's happening in Barbados is really boiling down to Barbadian youth being endangered.
War.
Being endangered species.
It's a war.
Right? So we have to look at what the problem is, twist it over if we can, and try to come up with a solution to solve the problem without agitating or pointing fingers at anybody. I'm not here to point fingers at Dennis Kelman. I'm here to say that he is the elected official, the parliamentary representative for St. Lucie. I don't think that there are two of them. There's just one, that one being Dennis Kelman. I understand that if he has a business, he might have had a business before he was a parliamentarian. And I have no problem with someone making money. My problem is with the fact that the people in a constituency, wherever, not being given the duly elected representative responsibilities of that person for that specific constituency. If they solve the problems of the masses, I'll shut my mouth and I'll be happy and I'll be living in a grandiose state. But I know that this is not a utopian situation. Rather, it is a dystopian situation. So we need to be looking at how we can get from where we are to where we need to be to represent people who are the most at-risk people in our communities and in Barbados as a whole. How do we solve problems? How do we fix situations
There's no easy fix, like we said before, because even in the school system, I have on the blog, nakeddepartures.com, we have on the blog a teacher, and she readily admits, oh, yeah, I get out there, and oh, yeah, I have fun, and I'm a young person, I'm supposed to have fun. But yes, when you're young, everyone wants to have fun. But when you are a school teacher and it's alleged, I don't know her, I've never seen her, don't know what she does, but from what is coming in on the blog, it is alleged that she skins out. And I don't know if you know what it means. You see her private areas, she skins out, she doesn't matter if her ass is showing or whatever it's showing. She gets drunk, they say that she drinks, and lewd behavior. And with social media the way it is, before she even gets into her classroom, her kids are watching that. It's seen because it's all over certain engines. It's all over certain pages. So her children, the ones that she was paid, she's being paid, she's a civil servant paid to teach, to educate. It's not only about teaching them what's in the books. You teach by example. In fact, that's the biggest teacher. You teach by example. And if you are skinning out and getting drunk and somebody have to pick you off the floor and you're foaming from the mouth or drooling from the mouth and one bubby is out and you have to fix yourself and your kids in the classroom, the children that you're teaching in that classroom know this even before Monday. Before Monday turns around, that particular video is being viewed by your students. You cannot tell me, you cannot look at me and tell me that you have a life to live, that you are young, you're 27 years old, and you're going to party and have fun. I don't see anything wrong with that. I think even the Ministry of Education should have something to say about that. What do you think about that behavior and the kids?
I know that. Let me say this. People disparage people for any number of reasons. I don't know this young lady, so I'm not about taking sides. The only side I'm going to take is the side of truth. But I know when I was going to school, we had teachers at, I went to Goodland Primary School, and I lived in a community where my father and his buddies were known to indulge in some good libation. You know, they loved to drink. And there were people who taught, who were teachers at certain secondary schools and primary schools in Barbados, who were excellent teachers, but they were drunkards. They were drunkards. And, you know, I am torn between saying to a young person that in their private life, you're not a teacher 24 hours a day. The teaching service is not like the police constabulary. A policeman is a policeman 24 hours a day, whether he or she is off or not.
Let me finish.
A person in the defense force is a soldier 24 hours a day because those are essential services. A nurse in Barbados or a fireman in Barbados is 24 hours a day because those are essential services. But to say to a 20-something-year-old school teacher that is enjoying herself in her own private time, that she's going to be held to a standard that we don't enforce with our politicians or that we don't enforce with our clergy, that we're going to enforce the standard now on teachers, I think is a bunch of bullshit. I really do.
Okay.
I mean, everybody wants to point fingers at somebody and demonize them. And it's okay. We all have varying opinions. And I'm not suggesting that if this person is causing a problem in her class among her children that she teaches, that that's right. But why are we demonizing her and not pointing fingers at people in government that carry on and do all kinds of salacious and lascivious things?
We do.
Why are we not? I know Naked talks about that.
Yeah, we do. But we do. We point out things that need to be looked at. And I'm saying that when I went to school, I've never known of a teacher who was drunk. I've never known of a teacher who had a woman. I didn't look at teachers that way. They just showed up in the classroom, taught, and we all went on home. We never had social media. They have no phone. Nobody was talking about teacher did this and teacher being with this. But teacher was drunk. I've never in my life heard that about a teacher. And this is the year. This is 21st century. And these are the things that our kids are witnessing. And the kids are getting worse. Worse and worse, and everyone saying, don't blame me, blame the parents, don't blame me, blame this body, don't blame me. There's no blame. There's absolutely no one wanted to take the blame for the downward slide in the moral compass of children, not even adults. We're talking about children. So if not the teacher, if not the parents, if not the church, if not the parliamentarian, if not nobody, fuck it. I see God have mercy on the children in Barbados. Victor?
Well, I think that we are all culpable in what transpires with the children in Barbados.
But God have mercy on them. If not nobody, if everybody knows I'm gonna have a good time and I'm young and I'm gonna have a good time. Fuck social media. Fuck what's getting into the kid's head. Fuck what the kids seeing. You're coming in to teach a class, and they're saying you're a pussy in their mind. They're saying you're drunk in their mind. They're saying you're being helped in your mind, and you don't think something's wrong with that? God help the children in Barbados.
But your point is well taken. But you're pointing at this teacher. But what about if they're seeing all those things already in their own home?
But you can't address everything at one time. We were addressing a particular teacher. But it goes right across.
We run out of time.
Unfortunately, we've come to the end of this episode of Naked Departure Talk Show. If you would like to appear as a guest on the show, simply email our producer at nakeddeparture@gmail.com or message us directly from the show page. We would love to have you as a guest on the show. You can listen to a repeat of this episode at any time in the future. Simply go to our show page at blogtalkradio.com/Naked Departure and follow the link. I would like to thank our guests, the discussion panel, and the production team. I would also like to thank the listeners for tuning in and giving us an audience. We will now leave you with the sweet jazzy sounds of Trade Winds by Alan Trotman and Jonathan Butler.